Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pembrey, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey.
So, we're on episode God Knows, because did I mess up the episode numbers or what?
You did.
I think maybe 44.
Well, yeah, you weren't going to mention it again. But
I feel like I do owe a bit of an explanation to people who are on episode 53, but...
I think this should be 44. Yes.
Yeah. And then yes. I'm going to stop mentioning which episode it is.
Yes, just in case.
So that I don't have to follow it.
Excellent.
Okay. So, yes, sorry about that.
Yeah, it's 2020. These things happen.
Today, we're going to talk about how we plan our novels and maybe yes. how you could plan your novel, unless yes. you don't plan your novel.
Yes, unless you're a pantser.
Which we've both done as well, haven't we?
Yes, I'm an absolutely covered pantser. I don't ever want to go back, ever.
It's very freeing, though, pantsing. I don't like that word, actually.
Now, do we need to explain it a little bit?
I think we probably should.
The idea is that you are either a pantser or a plotter, although people now also say planter, so that's like people who like a little bit of an outline but want to keep the creative freedom to let the story come to them as they go. But the idea is that a pantser writes by the seat of their pants. So they just sit down, they don't know where they're heading, maybe they have a vague idea of where they want to end up, but they just let the story unfold as they write it. And then you have plotters who actually have an outline, they know which plot points they're going to hit when, they know what the story is going to do, they know where it's going to end.
I like Dean Wesley Smith's, he talks about writing into the dark. I like that.
Well, that's a very pantser thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I still, even though I am now a reformed plotter, I still don't stick to the plan.
No, but I think that's the thing. It's like there's this fear that if you become a plotter, then there's no more creativity because you just have to sort of like fill in the blanks neatly. But I have my second fantasy novel is completely plotted. But not to the extent that I know that everything that's going to happen. Like, I have my basic storylines. And so I will have, like, bullet points. Like, okay, so in this scene, it would be ideal if all these storylines come together. But then I'm writing, and suddenly one of my characters says something, and I'm like, okay, so that's how I'm connecting them.
Ah.
So I'm still surprised.
You see, Sean Coyne of StoryGrid...
which I bought and it's on its way to me right now.
Oh, you've not got it yet?
Oh. No, it's on its way. It's going to take forever. Like the ever since COVID, the post here has been ridiculous.
Oh, well, Sean Coyne talks about the need for extreme creativity in order to get those scenes. You know, like in a romance, you have to have the couple meeting, that is kind of an obligatory yeah. scene in a romance. And
which makes sense.
Yeah. What he talks about is the art of being able to do that, you know, in a unique way, because it's been done yeah. so many times. How yeah. do you make that new and interesting?
But isn't that the case? Because basically, every story works in the same way, because if it doesn't, we don't recognize it as a story.
Literary fiction.
Literary fiction. I was thinking there are novels, but then there are people who are like, yeah, I'm not reading this because I cannot wrap my head around it. So genre fiction, I would say. Fiction yeah. purely for entertainment purposes.
Yeah.
I would say there is a very basic structure. Otherwise, you will not understand what is happening when. So even though like the story will never say, we are heading into the second act now, but I think all readers understand oh, we just had the inciting incident, not technically, like not with those technical terms, but they know, okay, yeah, this is, yeah, we're in it now. They will understand when the story actually starts.
Yes. So do you have a set way of planning your novel?
I'm very eclectic, so I just follow, like I follow really basically the three-act structure. So, you know, you have act one, it ends with the exciting incident, the moment of no return.
Yeah.
So something happens there early on, about 25% into the novel, that makes you, for me it's a bit early, I think, for my fantasy, that makes you go, or that makes the reader know, okay, this is, yeah, something has happened and it's big. The main character decides, I'm accepting the quest, whatever the quest is.
Yeah.
And then the second act, for a lot of people, that's the most tricky part, of course, because it's often like the saggy middle.
Middle build.
Yeah, so that for me, that's just, okay, so there's obstacles upon obstacle upon obstacle, and they're just, you know, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And then I intersperse that with moments of false security. And then there will be another obstacle all the way until when the third act, so when everything unravels.
The ending.
Yes. But I do like, for example, I really love Take Off Your Pants by Libby Hawker.
And I've got for that book, yeah.
Well, the thing is for me, like when I think about all these different ways of plotting or outlines, like all these books, like they will still follow the same basic structure. But I think this is how it feels like to me when I read all these different books, it's the perspective or where they put the stress.
Yeah.
So for Libby Hawker, she focuses a lot on the character, the main character's flaw.
Yes.
So that helped me look at my novel and think, okay, so there is this flaw. How does that actually create obstacles? And if it's an external obstacle, how does that affect how she responds to it? So knowing these things, like your character's flaw and how that will develop throughout the story, will help you create obstacles, but also will help make sure that your character does what's logical to them at the moment.
Who said that it's about a character's faulty way of seeing the world?
I don't know. I like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar, right? It's kind of...
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
I don't know who said that.
So the story is about the character getting to a point where they either see or don't see the faulty way they were seeing the world.
It actually really reminds me of the kind of the romance.
So yes.
So Gwen Hayes romancing the Beats.
Yes, yes.
So that's the book that I used to plot the romance novellas that I co-wrote. With a twist, because I'm a firm believer that once you know the rules, go.
You can
try to break them anyway. So yes, she's also like because she talks about her characters going from wholehearted, so as in whole, as in there's a hole in their heart, to wholehearted, as in the hole is healed and now the heart is whole again. Which works much better on paper. If you pronounce it, you're like, what?
Yeah.
So she also talks about that in some of those beats that she describes, so the plot points, that the way there is a belief that they have about the world and about love. And then later on, something happens, like the love interest does something. And in their, in how they view the world in that moment, they go, see, I was right all along. And then, of course, the unraveling of the story is for them to realize, oh, no, I interpreted that moment wrong.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it completely wrong. And then they open their hearts to love. That's what it reminds me of.
It is the same. It's the same principle, isn't it? I suppose it's just a bit wider than romance, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be that someone believes that they're clumsy.
Yeah.
And they've got a medical condition, say.
For example, yeah. So, yeah. I'm just thinking how it works for my particular novel. Right now I'm mentally preparing to finally figure out my first fantasy novel, because that's the book that I pantsed. And I'm still picking up the pieces. So I just created like my door is one post-it Valhalla, and I'm gonna write down every scene and I'm gonna see what is missing and if I would have put a normal plot structure on it, what am I already hitting, and what am I not hitting yet?
Marielle, I'm just like, that sounds so much work, because I know what my first novel is like, and I know how much work it would take to sort it out.
And you're like, it's in the drawer, and it will stay in the drawer. I'm like, no, but this is my story. Like, if I die, and this is the only trilogy I ever put out, I'm very happy. For me, this story is the story that I'm here to write.
Yeah, but you could still start again.
But for me, this is starting again. Because
okay.
you won't ever start again from zero.
No.
I have all the elements there.
You've got the characters in your head.
Yeah. And I already have people who are fans of my characters, like all my beta readers.
Well, that's a good start. And it shows that you've got a strong story.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I'm doing right now.
But I think I use both. I really feel free when I'm just writing and the story's just coming out. But at the same time, I would say, for me, story structure is the most important element of a story.
Yeah. And you know what? And that is something that, I don't know if anybody shares that, but creating the actual plot, that makes me feel extremely creative. I have so much fun doing that.
Yeah.
So that is when I'm telling myself the story.
Yeah. But I still have a problem sticking to that outline or that plan. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. The story comes as it comes. But yeah, I just feel like I'm wasting time sometimes planning it out when I end up writing something that doesn't follow that plan.
Yeah, I get that. Do you know your Myers-Briggs personality?
No, I have got that. It's at work, that document. I will fish it out, though, and have a look.
Because that might be connected to that.
Yeah.
Because I think... I've worked with a lot of... what are they? INFPs. Like, for some reason, most of my clients are INFPs.
Okay.
They have a very particular approach to plotting.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering whether that needing that combination between knowing where to go but still needing that freedom?
Yeah.
Whether that's a let's see.
I don't know. Learning about story structure was one of the most important aspects of writing that I had to learn, and I'm not sure anyone actually spelled that out to me. It was all, you know, the workshops you do, it's all about character and the way that you write, and it took a long time before I realized just how important the structure was.
So this is something that I'm extremely interested in. Before you learned story structure, how was your work structured? Like, was the structure completely off?
Yes. Not completely off. But it wasn't tight, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The drive of the plot. And I could very easily go off a tangent and...
Yeah, and never come back.
Yeah, those parts that aren't relevant to the plot necessarily. It is weird how sometimes you can't see the ending very clearly until you get there. You've only got a very broad idea of the ending, and then you get there and it all kind of works out somehow. I know it's just from reading so many stories and living so many stories that's how you kind of have that innate sense of what works, but it still fascinates me how sometimes it can come together.
Yeah, and that's why I want to know your Myers-Briggs personality. It is true. Is that for example, when I plotted, because I plotted the romance novellas, and then my co-writer did the first draft, I did the second draft, et cetera, et cetera. Because plotting for me is quite easily, and like I said, I really enjoy it. It's simply the case that it doesn't come natural to everybody. Mm. But when I plotted those novellas, I plotted those before I bought Romancing the Beats.
Okay.
So when I got Romancing the Beats, I basically put the structure on it, and I realized I had almost, aside the rules that I knew I was going to break anyway, it was almost completely aligned with the beats. So the only thing I knew was like, oh, okay, so I need to stress that a bit more, and I need to sort of downplay that a little bit. So basically it allowed me to bring some things to the fore, and like, so for me, like, it's very natural. But I, like you said, like, if you've read, how, like, most writers will have read a lot.
Yeah.
And we'll still be reading a lot. So it makes so much sense to me that we understand story structure intuitively.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely an element of that going on.
Yeah.
I think I'm still searching, though, for the perfect method.
Well, I mean, you are a fan. You are a true fan of StoryGrid.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And we will, like, once the book is here, I'll dive into it, and then we can talk about that.
But the thing is, I do like to explore any new method that comes up, just in case I can get something out of it.
Well, that's why I like my own eclectic approach. Like, I just follow the 3X structure, but I know from, okay, so I know this. Oftentimes I don't even know where I read it, but I just know, okay, so I know Take of Your Pants made me focus on the main character's flaw and how that influenced the story. I'm like, that's great. So I have all kinds of little elements that are just sort of like flown in. Like, I picked up a lot as well from this course that completely took apart the first Harry Potter novel. So basically goes through the, I cannot for the life of me. It's Clark Chamberlain.
Right.
I think it's called Advanced Novel Writing with Harry Potter. So I also picked up a lot of structure and plot ideas just from doing that course.
You see, even reading the Harry Potter books, you know, as they came out, you could see that she followed the same structure throughout, which I don't think's good, actually. I don't like to see it when I'm reading it.
No. I had the same with one of her books that I'm like, this one needed to be edited more.
Yeah.
And then, like, years later, I read an interview and she said, yeah, that book, yeah, they were too lenient on me. I wish they pushed me to edit it more. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I read it.
So you knew that you were right.
Yeah, but you don't know that because you feel, I hadn't said it to anybody because it's kind of pretentious to say, oh, you know, this best-selling novel should have been added more. But it's nice to know that, like, years later, like, I read that she was like, yeah, that could have gotten around. It would be better. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, that's good to know. So that's my point. Like there's so much of that is intuitive because you read so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason that I suggested this topic was just because I'm in this process at the moment. I'm at the beginning of planning out, well, a series, not just one book.
How's that going?
Yeah, well, not too bad. And this is what the other thing that I meant to talk about was the way that every time I do it, it is different.
Oh, so, that is interesting.
So I will use StoryGrid, but not so much at this stage. You know, I like to have the characters and the ideas and then apply the StoryGrid principles to those.
Okay, so you start out from something else. You start out from the characters.
Yes, and the way that I generally start out is by reading lots of craft books and going, oh, I might just experiment with that or write a bit about, use that technique to explore the characters a bit or the plot a bit or, you know.
Okay, so you're also quite eclectic and always ready to find new perspectives or entry points.
I think that there's a perfect way to do it, and I haven't found it yet.
No, but I think that the perfect way to do it is something that you're going to develop yourself, and it's going to be from taking all the stuff that resonates from what other people are doing. I think there are as many perfect outline methods as there are writers.
Yeah, yes. Yes, I think that you're probably right. But I don't feel that I'm there yet. I don't sit down and go, right, well, this is the template I'm going to use. Yeah. My planning is all freehand, not on the laptop.
Oh, wow.
It's all in journal. Well, I've got a journal that I start for a new project, and it's whatever comes into my head goes in there, and then I scribble loads of it out.
Is that why you needed new stationery before you started planning?
Yes. And, you know, I bought some notebooks, but I also bought like coloured pencils and an A3 sheet sketch pad so that I could just put the characters on there in different colours and just to try and tap into that kind of creative brain and inspire myself to come up with things. It's good.
Yeah, that's exactly how I work. Yeah, I have the A3 sketch pad. I have the coloured pens. Yeah. I have the notebook.
Yeah.
But I do like, so I type faster then I write.
Yeah, so, I do, but it's different, isn't it? It's not as I do you know, when I type, I feel a pressure to make things not perfect, but to make things good. And when I write, I feel that I can just scribble and make mistakes, and that's why.
Yeah, yeah. I do have notebooks. Like, for example, now I have a notebook, and as I'm figuring out. So for me, my pants novel, I was just thinking about that. It's actually not that it doesn't follow a proper story structure. It's just that there are so many storylines in it, and I'm still figuring out how to connect them best.
Yeah.
So the story structure is fine. That's why so this is the fifth draft, and I've had beta readers for the past three drafts. And most of them are like, yeah, this is great. And I'm like, didn't you see that I said this in chapter 31? And then in chapter 45, this happened. That's not okay.
Mm.
And but because the regular, like the overarching thing, that works.
Yeah.
So they just see a story as a story is supposed to be. And I'm the one who sees the details. And I'm like, they're still not matching. So I need to figure that out. But yeah, I have a notebook for that one as well that I just have with me. So I write when I'm in the shower, I have ideas. Those I will write down on my waterproof phone. There's a reason I have a waterproof phone. But yeah, I do have a notebook that I have ideas, like when I'm in some kind of twisted yoga pose and I need to be able to then write it down, or like when I've like I get my best ideas when I like shut off my computer, I'm brushing my teeth, I'm getting ready to bed, and then I'm like, okay, and then I just grab that notebook. So I do have a notebook with like lots of random thoughts, like figure out this, check up on this, how about if this actually happens like this.
Does that mean that you've loaded some notebooks then?
Well, not like after I moved, I got rid of, or before I moved, I got rid of them, a lot of them. So I only kept the ones that I'm using or that contain the story that I'm working on. And as you know, I've been working on this story for the past 20 years. Not that it matters. But I do actually, I believe I still have some books in the Netherlands, like some research books and stuff that I by now thought I would have. But of course I haven't been there in quite a while because I'm stuck. So yeah, I don't have a lot of notebooks right now, but I always have a few empty ones.
I get rid of notebooks. When I've filled them, I get rid of them. I don't keep diaries or anything like that.
Oh, I do.
I always feel that, and if I write ideas down that I don't do anything with, I throw them away.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
I don't know why.
I
kind of just feel that if I haven't done anything with it, then it wasn't good enough, or it wasn't ready.
It's kind of like when you go through your clothes and like, I haven't worn this in a year, it can go. Right? Like, I haven't done anything with it yet, so this idea can go. Yeah, I do that to a certain extent. Like, I know, for example, when this book is published, I will get rid of my early notebooks.
Yeah.
Because I have 20 years of notebooks. That's on this good thing. I will make the space.
The other reason I do that is because how can you find anything when you have a million notebooks?
Oh, but I know exactly which notebook has what.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
I bought a little labeler for notebooks.
Oh, that also. Yeah, but all my notebooks look different. So I'm not like, I know, for example, somebody like Joanna Penn likes a certain, like the, I cannot pronounce it, Leuchtturm.
Yeah. I use different ones as well.
Yeah, so if you all use the same shape and only have different colors, it gets a little complex.
Yeah.
But mine come in different, like when I'm in a store and they have notebooks, I have to have a look.
Expensive notebooks.
Yeah, I do too, but then I usually start using them the latest.
Yes, that's true.
Because I'm like, now I have to be right pretty in them.
You start off pretty, don't you, for like a page or two, and then it goes downhill.
Very much. And ever since I like my handwriting was so much better before I was a teacher.
Yeah,
after 10 years of teaching, like, it's awful. Okay, yeah. There's no way I can subtly bring us back to topic. I can't do it.
No, do it brutally then.
Okay, so nonfiction. I just said that I will never ever pants again, but I'm working on two collaborations right now, two nonfiction projects. One book is going to be about imposter syndrome, and the other book is going to be about representation and writing diverse characters. Now, the writing diverse characters, we are right now planning the heck out of it. It's going to be very organized because we kind of want to do a resource that you can just open and like, okay, so I'm writing about a trans character. Okay, look, let's find the right chapter. Okay, so these are the do's and don'ts and the tips. That's what we want. So that has to be very structured. But the other project about imposter syndrome, I tried to, once we realized we were going to write that together, I tried to come up with a sort of a plot or a plan, like what kind of chapters. And we both got really blocked and we didn't touch it forever. and then maybe even like I'm gonna say almost a year. And then at one point we had this breakthrough that we just decided we're just gonna write free flow, and we know it's gonna be more work later on.
Yeah.
But it's not happening. So what we are doing now is I ask questions as if I'm kind of an interviewer, and my co-writer answers, and then I bring in my perspective, and then I answer ask the follow-up question. And the plan is to, if we have those words, then we'll hopefully see a structure in there. But we try to plot that. I don't know how this is going to work. This is an experiment for both of us. But we try to like make a plan, and we couldn't do anything anymore. We were completely like, oh. So for some reason, this project needs to be written free flow. We need to bounce ideas around.
That's interesting. There's two points there. One is that I always imagined that nonfiction would be very plotted out.
Yes, me too.
Okay.
And the So I think basically what will happen is that in the end, we'll see the themes that are recurring, and then we have chapters, and we just rewrite the material that we've gathered.
Yeah.
So I do think it's going to be a longer process. But the moment we tried to stick to different chapters as we already saw them, we didn't know what to say anymore.
Well, the other point was, if you get stuck, try a different way.
Well, I think that's what we're trying.
Yeah. That was my that's the other thing that I took out of what you were saying.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what we're doing. And we, so my co-writer, John Robin, he knows, like, I've interviewed him before. So he actually suggested, like, can we try this? Because can we try, like, an interview setup? And then later on we'll see what we do with the material that we came up with. But can we try to have a conversation? That's how we started at the very beginning. And then we were like, okay, so if we want this book out fast, we need to find out how it's organized. And then we just fill in the blanks. And the moment we tried to do that, it sort of like, no, nothing happened. So we went back to where we started. Like, let's just do this and then see where we end up. And like sort of have faith that we will end up somewhere and that it will have been useful. And that there is actually something in there.
It might well work.
So this is a complete experiment. Yeah, that's a complete experiment for me.
I've got another question for you. Do you think that everyone should try different processes? So if you're a pantser, do you think that you should try plotting and vice versa?
I think the main reason why being a plotter has become such a my way or the highway kind of thing, like this is the way we should do it, is because plotting generally speeds up the process, and there is such a emphasis on putting out books as quickly as you can in the indie publishing world.
Mm.
So I see a connection there. I do think, like, testing different methods, that just makes you better in your craft. And I think understanding why something works and doesn't work for you also makes you a better storyteller.
Yeah.
Because then you learn your strengths and your weaknesses, and then you can work on your weaknesses while you sort of, you know, use your strengths.
Yeah.
So I do think it's always useful to try. Then again, there's a reason I brought up Myers-Briggs. I know that there are some personality types who don't think linearly. And if you force them to plot rigidly, like, there's nothing's going to happen. They'll stop writing.
Yeah.
So they need a more open approach. But that's why I like so many, there's so many outline tools, there's so many methods. There will be a method for you.
Yeah. So
that's what I think.
So did you want to link to the story structure planner. What's it called? Story planner.
Storyplanner.com. Yeah, this is a website that I recommend to clients often. It's storyplanner.com, very simple. And there's a free version. And there's a premium version. The premium version is about $40 a year. So that's not that crazy. And what it offers you is, basically what it offers you is the digital templates for outline books that we already know. So for example, you can go in and let's say you love or you want to test Libby Hawker's take off your pants method. You just click on take off your pants outline and then you have underneath that is the digital outline for it. And you can save that. So basically it will tell you what parts you have to fill in and then you click on generate and then there is your outline. It also includes Save the Cat, writes a novel. It has K.M. Weiland's structuring your novel workbook, like that outline. So it has multiple, it offers multiple outlines that we know from different books.
I've not come across it before, but I'm just looking at it and it looks absolutely fascinating.
Well, this is the thing why I love it. And so in the free version, you can save one plan. So if you use it for one book and you want to do it for another book, you just, you know, save the PDF of this one plan and then you start a new plan altogether. In the premium version, you can have as many plans as you like. But what, it's not, the funny thing is, even if you don't like plotting, and I would say it even has like the three arc, the three act structure, it has a five act structure. So it has all kinds of different things. And some are very detailed, some are not so detailed. So if you want to test it, whether it's something for you, I think this is the perfect website to go and test them instead of, you know, buying all the books. But the website also offers like resources on, okay, like fleshing out your characters, help with your story world. So it does have lots of it offers lots of different kinds of ways to help you write your story.
Do you think it'd help me with NaNoWriMo?
It might. There is no story grid on it, is there?
That's sad.
I'm just opening it now.
I would probably use a different method initially and then apply story grid to it.
Yeah. So let me see. So here I have take off your pants outline, simple story structure, the index card plan, story elements. So that's to define the key elements. It says here, this one is good for short stories or to quickly outline a new idea. There is something called the snowflake method. There is the hero's journey based on Joseph Campbell. Save the Cat for novels. The tentpole method. Pixar Once Upon a Time, basic narrative structure, simple story elements, the Magnificent Seven plot points. I don't know what that is. So there is like Into the Woods 5-act structure, simple 3-act structure for novels, super structure, the key to unleashing the power of story. That's James Scott Bell's super structure book. So it has different, there's The Plot Whisperer by Martha Alderson, Sid Field's interpretation of the 3-act structure. It has so many different. So basically what she did is just create digital templates of those books.
Awesome.
For you to test. Yeah, I really love it. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I think we should end on that because I don't think we're going to get better.
No. And so this would be my exercise for this week. Just go to the website and just have a look and test something. If you're already a plotter, don't go crazy. See if you can find something that works even better for you. If you're a pantser or a planter, just have a look.
I'm going to be doing that homework, definitely.
Okay, I will do the same because I am curious. I'm mostly curious what all these different methods have to offer. Like, what do they focus on specifically?
Yeah, yes.
That's what interests me.
And go with your gut instinct as to which one appeals.
Yes, and just take all those elements and put them together.
Well, it's almost the ideal time for me, as in I've got my journal full of scribblings and my diagrams, and it's about starting to pull it together now.
Yeah, well, I think this is a great resource for that.
Okay then, so bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.